Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us this evening. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me and more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. We're located midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, near Interstate 77 and Interstate 271, and right at the corner of Brecksville Road and I'm going to draw a blank on my own street. Wheatley, I want to say something different. The reason is Wheatley Road is Wheatley on our end of it, and it's Broadview Road on the other end of it, which makes it kind of confusing unless you're from the area. And then Brecksville Road, depending on who you talk to, is either Brecksville Road or Cleveland-Massillon Road, or if you're somebody who grew up in Richfield in the 60s and 70s, it's Old 21. How's that one? Yeah, so the one road out there, Old 21, Cleveland-Massillon Road, and Brecksville Road, all of those names would have applied. But technically, I think at our part of it, it's Brecksville Road. And then Wheatley Road, which is also Broadview Road, is also State Route 176. But at our point, we go by Wheatley Road. So anyway, Brecksville Road, Wheatley Road, right near Interstate 77 and 271. And so we'd love to have you visit if you're in the area sometime. But check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can learn more about me. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to both hours of our Sunday night program, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. You can also listen to our Friday half hour every Friday afternoon for a half hour at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And so all that's available. And there's articles and things that I've written, some different topics. There's other things that are there, some other materials that I think will be a blessing, some comments about different things, all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can link from there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Just remember, livewithpastoral.com. And continue to pray for me. Thank you for everybody's been praying for me. A couple of weeks ago, I was out with the flu, and still getting fully back to normal. There's just this cough that just lingers on, and it comes and goes. Sometimes it stays for a little longer, but I can go for hours without coughing. The next thing I know, I'll have a coughing fit or something. So it's still hanging on. It's just a nasty flu bug that's been going around here in northeastern Ohio and other parts of the country. And so I hope you're doing well. Hope you're healthy. Spring is coming. It's getting closer and closer. And I've noticed that the daffodils are pushing up through the ground. And a friend of mine, a week ago, tapped his maple trees. He said it's the earliest that he's done it. And I got a maple tree, actually two, that I think I'm going to tap this year. And so I was thinking I need to get out and do it, but I just haven't had a chance to get everything ready and all that. Got other stuff. I got set back when I had the flu, got me behind on some other things. But hopefully, maybe in this coming week, I'll get that going. And I don't do a whole lot, but it's just kind of nice to have some, you know, homemade maple syrup. It's just it's worth making pancakes just so you can have that. But at any rate, I hope if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And as we were leaving in the last half hour, we heard about excuse me, some breaking news out of Texas, and I'll just go here. This is the Texas Tribune online, and they have a headline, "Woman Who Opened Fire at Joel Osteen's Megachurch Killed by Police." And apparently what happened, this article was just updated, it says 3 hours ago, and apparently what happened today, a female shooter entered into Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. This is one of the largest congregations in the country. It's the arena is the former home of the Houston Rockets. So that ought to give you an idea how big the place is. I guess they seat about 16,000 people in this building. And she went in about 1:53 in the afternoon. Now, this was not the main church. And, I may have my theological differences with Joel Osteen and his church, but I certainly pray for the people who are affected by this, and the services that people are mostly familiar with would be the main service. And apparently, after the main service in the morning, they have a Spanish service, apparently, and that appears to be the service that she came into. And that's why I said at 1:53, just before 2 o'clock this afternoon, and of course, this would be Central Time, being Houston, I believe. And they believe that she was around 30, 35 years of age. She came in wearing a trench coat, carrying a backpack and a long rifle, and she had a child approximately 4 or 5 years old with her. And she, it hits me every once in a while still. It says the woman began shooting upon entering the church, and there were two off-duty police officers who apparently were providing security at the church. They shot her, and she died on the scene, according to the authorities. Somehow, in the process of everything, the child was shot and injured, and is in critical condition at Texas Children's Hospital there in Houston. And they don't, what I'm looking at here doesn't have information about how the child was injured. And there was also a 57-year-old man who was shot in the leg who was being treated as well. The shooter threatened that she had a bomb as well. And so the officers, after she was neutralized, they searched her vehicle, they searched the backpack and all. They did not find any explosives or any evidence of any, but they searched the entire church building, the entire arena, and that I'm sure took a bit of time. So they did that Sunday afternoon, this afternoon, and they said she sprayed something around while she was in there. They didn't know what it was, and so they called the Houston Fire Department and the hazmat units in, and the Houston Fire Chief Samuel, Pina, said they found nothing of concern. So whatever she was doing, something not quite right. But I guess the Spanish language service was due to start at 2 o'clock, and this is when she went in. So far, I haven't seen anything that's identified her motive or her identity. And Houston Mayor John Whitmire said during a press conference today, "It's unfortunate that on a day we want to attend church and watch America's number one sports event, we find ourselves gathered here to respond to this tragedy." He continued saying, "We want Houstonians to know that they are being protected by their first responders." Whitmire went on to thank the first responders for their collaboration. Officers from the Harris County Sheriff's Department, Houston Fire Department, Houston Police Department were all on scene. The two off-duty agents that shot the shooter were actually from the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission and the Houston Police Department. Lakewood Church is about 6 miles outside of downtown Houston. As I said, it's the former arena for the Houston Rockets. It is a large building and a large congregation there, and we certainly don't know what all was going on, excuse me, but I guess Joel Osteen made a statement, and as he should, he's the pastor of the church there, He said, we don't understand why these things happen, but we know God is in control. We're going to pray for the little five-year-old boy and the lady that was deceased, her family, and the other gentleman. So apparently these are the only people who were injured. Governor Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, said that he had been in contact with Mayor Whitmire and offered state resources, including the Department of Public Safety officers and the Texas Rangers. Governor Abbott said, our hearts are with those impacted by today's tragic shooting and the entire Lakewood community, our church community in Houston. Places of worship are sacred. And, you know, we see these things happening. And, you know, ultimately, we know the motivation. It's satanic. The devil wants to destroy churches and keep people from going to church and all that, causing problems, causing difficulties. And there's other things. This is not a call for gun control. I mean, after all, it was two off-duty police officers with guns that neutralized this woman before anybody else was injured. There's been some other mass shootings in churches where numbers of people were killed, much more than this. November 2017, First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, I think was Texas as well. It was outside of San Antonio. 26 people were killed and 20 others were wounded when a gunman opened fire on the people in the church. If I remember correctly, people were unarmed and defenseless. It was a neighbor who grabbed his AR-15, I believe it was, that came in there and took out the shooter and probably kept them from killing even more people. And so when we look at this, we see that we do have threats to churches and schools and other areas where things are happening. So do pray for the people affected by the shooting there in Texas, in Houston, at the Lakewood Church there. It's Joel Osteen's church in outside of Houston. And, you know, we don't know exactly what was going on just yet. I'm sure tomorrow more information will come out, but pray for the people there. We live, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous times. Perilous times, he said, would come. And we live in that day today. Perilous times. He said, this is the verse 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, we're certainly in the last days. We're certainly living in perilous times. And we have many threats against us. And we need to be on guard. We have people who just, you know, they're mentally off. There's something wrong with them. The devil inspires them to do things. We've had cases where people have been inspired because of Islam and other things like that to carry out things like that. And I wish I could say that this is not going to happen in the future, but, you know, Paul said we're in perilous times. I believe it's going to occur again. And so we need to be on guard. We need to be praying one for another. And this is why, you know, we need Christ. We need to know Christ as our Savior. So if worse comes to worse, we're in one of these situations, we know that we have a home waiting for us in heaven. And you know, that kind of looking at this made me think about something I was looking at earlier before I came up here, before I was even aware of what was going on there in Houston with this church shooting. There's a movie that's coming out that's put together by Rob Reiner. And Rob Reiner, if you're familiar with Rob Reiner or not familiar with him, if you remember the old show All in the Family with Archie Bunker, Archie and his wife Edith, and they had their daughter and her husband living with them. You know, Archie, of course, was the ultra right wing bigot in the show. And I remember hearing somebody talk about the show one time saying that he was originally, his character was supposed to be created so that people wouldn't like him. And Rob Reiner played his son-in-law, who was the left-leaning liberal who was nicknamed Meathead. That's what the Archie Bunker character called him all the time, Meathead. And he was supposed to be the one that people would love. It's kind of interesting that as the show went on, people began gravitating toward the curmudgeonly Archie Bunker and looking at Meathead as kind of an idiot. And so Rob Reiner, of course, after being on that, has pursued a career of essentially trying to do everything he can to push people to the left and even attacking Christianity. He's got a video coming out, a movie coming out called God and Country. Okay. And one headline by Todd Starnes said this, and I guess this movie came out in December, but it's getting some play now. People are starting to talk about it. I hadn't heard about it, but Todd Starnes had a headline that said, Rob Reiner partners with woke evangelicals to shame Christians who love America. And he kind of coined that term. Instead of evangelicals, he calls them woke evangelicals. And he lists the number of prominent evangelical Christians that appear in Rob Reiner's documentary called God and Country that essentially attacks the Christian right. It attacks Christians who are patriots. And, you know, the sad thing is that he got some of these Christian, as he calls them, woke evangelicals, some evangelical Christians to join in with him in this thing here. He's got, Russell Moore, who I believe is with Christianity Today, if I remember correctly. David French, not as familiar with him, but also the VeggieTales creator, Paul Vischer. They're among the woke evangelicals featured in the documentary. And Reiner, talking about this, said Christian nationalism is not only a danger to our country, it's a danger to Christianity itself. And I always like it when atheists and skeptics and non-Christians try to tell Christians what's a danger to them. You know, to me, it's kind of like when the Democrats tell the Republicans who they shouldn't run for president or some other office because, oh, no, you don't want to run that person. You'll lose for sure. Well, think about this for a second. If they thought you'd lose for sure, wouldn't they tell you to run them because they want to win? Maybe they tell you the opposite because they're afraid and they don't want to run against somebody. And so they tell you don't run them because they don't want to have to face them. But any rate, a Hollywood reporter, I was trying to find the reporter's name here. I can't see it right at the top of my head here, but said this about the film. In God and Country, religious leaders and scholars, journalists and historians sound off about the threat of a movement which infuses Christian dogma with far-right politics. At the same time, the documentary seems to strive to make a distinction between the positive aspects of Christianity and the political-fueled variety. This is not a movement about Christian values. This is about Christian power, says one anti-Trump participant. Well, there's a clue as to the mindset of these people. While another notes, Christianity at its best is committed to love and truth and justice. If we do this right, what a country we will be. Well, let me give you a news flash there. The left is not committed to love, truth, and justice. They're committed to destroying Christianity. And if they can do that, well, what a country this will be. That's what they're trying to do. And the sad thing is, they're having a measure of success in this country. We have these people who are attacking Christians who have a sense of patriotism and who get out and advocate in the public sphere for their Christian beliefs. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I've mentioned this passage before. It says here in verse number 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, usually, that's where we usually stop reading, but let me just continue. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What he's saying there is we ought to be involved praying for those in authority, and if you're going to pray effectively for your governor, for your president, for your senator, state or federal, for your representative, state or federal, if you're going to pray for your mayor, if you're going to pray for your city or town or village council members or your township trustees, your county officials, whoever they might be, you need to know who they are and what they're doing so that you can pray for them and make supplications, prayers, and intercessions for them and giving of thanks so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If they're doing something that's hindering our ability to be servants of God in this world, then we need to pray that God would overcome those things that they're doing. If there's something that they should be doing to help us to be better servants of God and to get the message of the gospel out, we ought to pray that they do those things. This is why we encourage Christians to get involved in political campaigns, to get involved in issues of the day, to bring the truth of the Bible to bear on these campaigns, on these issues. And people like Rob Reiner don't want you to do that. They don't want you to do that. Oh, it's okay if you stay in your church and you talk about a few things, but don't dare go out in the public arena and talk about these things. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. No, that's going too far. They give an example, I guess. This is Reiner had offered an example of Christianity that threatens American safety, okay? You'll like this. Christian nationalism, he said, is the cause. Let me see if I can find the thing here. He said he blamed Christian nationalism for a mass shooter who killed 10 black victims in Buffalo, New York in May 2022. Speaking of the murders in light of his film, Reiner said, that's part of it. We want this film to be out in October as we want people to understand the trajectory, so we'll probably have to fold this shooting in somehow. Problem? The New York Attorney General's investigative report into the killer's online activities found that he never mentioned Christianity or Christian beliefs as a possible motive. In its extensive detailing of his manifesto, his private diary, and his social media posts, the report noted that the killer, the shooter, explicitly touted his fear of ethnic replacement, cultural replacement, and racial replacement based on a combination of declining white birth rates and mass immigration and higher fertility rates of immigrants. His hatred of Muslims and Jews was also noted throughout, but not whether or not he had any religious beliefs of his own. Well, that's hardly a poster child for Christian nationalism, is it? Well, here's another guy that in God and Country that they feature. This one made it to the trailer. As he says here, a particularly frightening scene that suggested Christians can be public menaces. In it, and you may remember this, a gray-stubbled man is being wrestled into submission by no fewer than 4 police officers at what appears to be some sort of seminar venue. Well, it turns out that the man, John Tiggs, was also arrested for trespassing, but he was a Loudoun County father who was at the Loudoun County School Board meeting to speak out against the district's new policy allowing biological males into girls' bathrooms. Now, let me interject in just a second here. This is why I personally, as a pastor and as a radio host, urge people here in Ohio to weigh in on the SAFE Act, House Bill 68, and to overcome Governor DeWine's veto of that. And thankfully, they did overcome the veto, and it's due to become law. Well, it's due to go into effect here soon, in I think about a month or so. But this man was at a school board meeting to speak out against the district's policy of allowing biological males into the girls' bathrooms. Hundreds of other parents were also there to raise objections to the rule, and in an attempt to shut them down, the superintendent tried to cancel the meeting before they could speak. Now, later it was revealed that only a few weeks prior to the meeting, a transgender boy, translation, that's a boy with delusions of being a woman, actually raped a girl in a Loudoun County or a Loudoun school bathroom. So the parents had every right to be alarmed and to want to be at a public school meeting in order to protest this atrocious ruling that allows biological boys into the women's bathrooms and even tried to cover up the rape of biological girls by biological boys who claimed that they could be girls so that they could go into the women's restroom. And Reiner and his filmmaking team, they got the idea, I guess, that Tiggs was a Christian nationalist. You know why? Because after the circuit court judge dismissed all the charges against him and ruled that the superintendent had violated Tiggs' rights and the other parents' First Amendment rights to speak and assemble, Tiggs posted on social media, and here it is, I'm almost hesitant to read this because it's going to be so shocking to you. I hope you're sitting down. If you're dozing off to sleep, this may keep you up tonight. This is why we know he was a Christian nationalist. After he was vindicated, he posted on social media, "My thanks to God for justice." Ooh, that's terrible, isn't it? My thanks to God for justice. That proves that he's a Christian nationalists, and that Christian nationalists are a threat to public safety. Can you imagine that? A threat to public safety because he said, "My thanks to God for justice." And this, we're going to see more of this. We're going to see more and more of this. And the sad thing is, and I wrote an article on this called A Shocking Statistic back in, I think it was in June or so of 2022, that, well, I looked at the shocking statistic of the fact that nearly two-thirds of pastors do not have a biblical worldview anymore. And the result of that is the number of young people growing up with a biblical worldview is decreasing by shocking numbers. And we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our country's churches. We need to pray for our country's pastors. We need to pray that they will get back into the Word of God and that they will begin not only reading it themselves, but they'll get up in the morning on Sunday morning and they'll step into the pulpit and they'll remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, where he started saying, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to them, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." You know, if I could take this to the pulpits of churches across this country, and if pastors would remind themselves of our charge in the Word of God, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because, let me tell you, we're living in the day when people don't want to endure sound doctrine. They're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want the truth. And our country's suffering for it. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go, and we'll be talking about some more of this in the next half hour. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can learn more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to both hours, our 10 o'clock hour and our 11 o'clock hour every Sunday night. We have our past programs there. You can also listen to our half-hour program every Friday, 1:30 till 2 o'clock. We have those posted up there as well. And you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And, of course, that's our main sponsor as well. And so the number of articles and different things that are all there at livewithpastoral.com. And in the meanwhile, we're going to get back to our program. We do have a caller who's been patiently waiting for me. And our number, as I said, is 888-677-9673. I believe we have David calling in tonight. David, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello, Pastor Al. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine. Thank you for patiently waiting for me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I enjoyed what you had to say while I was waiting, so that's good. That's always good, too. I came by and saw you guys just last Friday night. I was in there with
our Bible study.
We had a good time.
Yes.
What I'd like to say is I'm talking about what a challenge that truly is going to be to pray for our leaders. I mean, that's truly a challenge to pray with a pure heart and with pure motives, you know?
That's a very good point, because that isn't always easy, is it?
Man, in the political field, it really messes up the purity of everything. You know what I mean, sir?
Right. And as you bring that up, I would say a lot of times we tend to pray with a bias or something, rather than allowing the Spirit of God to direct our prayer. We're letting our own bias do it.
And the wonderful thing is, remember, if it doesn't help them, it's going to help us, okay? It's going to help us. So keep on praying and let God work on us as he works on them in whatever way, form, and shape. But he's going to work on us through prayer also.
And like you said, he works on us through prayer, and he uses us, as you said, to pray for those who are in authority. And, who's the guy used to say, God's still on the throne and prayer changes things.
It's a beautiful challenge. But when God is in it, He'll do miracles. Miracles we don't even realize that He can do. You know, He'll show us things we don't even realize the capability of thinking. His thoughts and ways are so beyond us. It's amazing when we get to tap into Him. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I had referenced here in Ohio the SAFE Act, House Bill 68. And, you know, it's by the grace of God, through the answer to prayers of God's people, I believe that bill passed in the first place, and then the governor vetoed it, and by the grace of God, in answer to the prayers of God's people, the veto was overturned. And
what a challenge it is, brother. You know, as a challenge, all these things, that, like you said, you're trying to get the issue ones and all these other things, and all these things are, you know, seem to be going against you, and you keep on doing and keep on trying and keep on trying to stand up for God, and you get a victory here and down here. You just can't understand how God's working on it. But you got to remember, at the end of the days, when it seems like we might be getting close to this, Jesus coming back, to say that it's going to be like the days of Lot, and you can see it
on
the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sir, you never know exactly what God's up to, but man, the main thing is to keep your relationship pure and clean with Him, and close, and stay close to Him, and do all what He says and does. You know, just be close to the God, and that's just a wonderful thing, because in our life, because we have that relationship, because we know our Holy Father and how He loves us, that we can come to Him with any problem, and it's all going to be taken care of. You know, we don't even have to fret. You know, we don't have to worry about nothing. We know He'll take care of it, even though we can't understand it or explain it.
Exactly, and like I was saying to our caller earlier in the program, I was preaching this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, where Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that's knowing the truth of God's Word. Who Jesus
is. King James make. They like to say set, but I know that John 8:31-32, I came across it. You know, if you continue in my word, I know it very well. So I've been in a ministry on that one. And it came through an RU. Yeah, I remember you started in RU, and I was in RU for many years. And that one came along, and I loved it. And like you say, a little bit later, verse 36, free indeed comes along. You know,
mm-hmm.
And they're using that verse with the Chicago homeless place, you know, that city, the mission they got.
Oh yeah, Pacific Garden Mission.
You got it. That's the one they're talking now. That's the one they're sharing. Is that 36 now? That's their line. You know, that's their verse. They're holding true to. It's a beautiful thing.
And that's, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And
sounds like you've heard it, yes, sir.
And I like the fact it's using the word make, and you had just said it. It's not set you free. It's make you free. And people miss the difference there. You know, can be in a bad situation or whatever, and knowing the truth of the Scripture and knowing who Jesus is and knowing that He's your Savior, even though physically you may be restrained in a difficult situation, whether it's due to illness or incapacity or just whatever, you can be made free in your spirit to rise above that situation because you know the truth. You know who you are in Christ, and you're made free. You're not merely set free. You're made free. You can rise above your condition because you know the truth.
It's the difference between living for his kingdom and this kingdom of the world. Yeah? This kingdom of the world, we're just passing through, but his kingdom is forever, sir. Yeah. And that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Amen to that. And there's one other thing I'd like to share in the political field. I happen to be bouncing in a little bit of the political field, and I know you know this word, and I just want to make sure that the people out there, when they hear this word, that their ears pick up. You're not tingle ears, that their ears wake up. And you got to hear this, a bugle. What they're talking about now, and this is the junk they're trying to get through, brother, and you know this word when I bring it up. It's called equity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Throwing this stinking word equity around. I live in a place called CMHA Bill. I'm in low income, okay? And they put a flyer on my wall that they're going to talk about racism, okay? Racism, and they wanted people from these buildings to be represented. I went there. They didn't care nothing about me. Okay, all they wanted to talk, they talked for an hour and a half about all such a garbage. Okay, and then I ended up leaving. Blah blah blah. And then that night, I just happened to go to the downtown library, and what happened? Who was there? The mayor was there. For whatever reason, the mayor was there, and he had a meeting, and I sat in and listened to that, and that's the word they're using. They're throwing that word around. That's their power trip, this equity, okay? It's such a dangerous word. Where we God says equality, and they're trying to bring this other word in, equity. It's a shame, brother. It's the most racist thought there is out there. I'm just letting you know.
Well, and it's a part of this overall concept. They call it DEI. Diversity, okay. Equity, and inclusion. I think they should spell it D-I-E, actually, diversity, inclusion, and equity. I think D-I-E sums up what it does, because it kills the spirit, and it kills, you know, it attempts to kill Christianity, but it can't.
No, sir.
But this idea of equity, you know, I like the fact, for instance, in our founding documents, we talk about liberty. And
amen.
Liberty is similar to what we see in the Bible when we're made free, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
We're made free. We have liberty in Christ. But see, equity means you make everybody on the same level. And you know, you can do that a couple of ways. You know, if you remember back when you're in school, sometime, I remember in college, we had professors that would grade on a curve. And you always got mad if somebody aced the test because it raised the curve. You know, you liked it if everybody did mediocre because then everybody got a good grade. Well, see, that's equity involved. You know, you lower everybody down to the lowest common level. You know, you can make everybody equitable by making everybody equally poor.
I got you there. I got to show you now. What it was when I was there for that CMHA thing for an hour and a half, where they were putting it on. Their equity was nothing like that. Okay, they are driving a whole different point on a racist reality, and we're there for racism. And I brought the three words in. I wanted to show them. Well, racism will lead to prejudice. Well, it will lead to bigotry, and I wanted to show them. I never got to present my side of it because I got shot down along that way. But when they brought in equity, and they said their core values can stem out of equity. Okay, the core, the whole thing, the whole project is on equity. And I stood up in the middle of it. I mean, this is early in the first half hour of it when I popped. I stood up and said, "Can you explain that word to me?" And nobody would. Nobody would explain it until an hour and a half later. And some lady got up and said, "We're taking questions." And she directly pointed at me like I was like some chump, you know, and gave me a hard time. And that's what equity is, sir. And now it just moved on without me, you know. I said, well, peace and love, you know. But well, what they're trying to drive on that equity, you look into it. It's nasty, okay, brother?
Oh, yeah. You want everybody reduced to you know, some kind of.
I mean, it's actually, brother, it's actually stipulated. They got a different stipulation. I really don't want to get into it right now over the phone, but we'll talk to you about it on Friday night or one night, okay?
All right. Appreciate that, David.
Okay, brother. Right. You have a good night. I'll let you get the last 15. Maybe somebody else will get in.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call tonight. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And he brought up this idea of equity. And when you think about it, it's basically everybody's going to be equally miserable. You know, when you look at the World Economic Forum, where they said you will own nothing and be happy. They want everybody reduced to the same level of misery. That's equity. That's equity. And of course, it has to be done. David brought up the racist aspect of it. Has to be done because the only way we can cure racism is to make everybody miserable, I guess. Everybody's got to be equally miserable. No, you know what actually caused the Industrial Revolution to take place? You know what caused people to be lifted out of poverty and caused the surge in the middle class, for instance? You know, think about this. Over in Europe, when Karl Marx formulated his theories, and Marxism, communism got its start, he was successful because they still had the vestiges of a class-based society. But when they tried to export communism to America, they initially had difficulties because America had such a large middle class. Now, think about this. For much of our history, you know, you think of somebody who's growing up, let's say somebody in Central Europe or Britain or whatever, and, you know, a couple hundred years ago, if your father was a shoemaker, guess what you were going to be? You were going to be a shoemaker. If your father was the village smith, guess what you were going to be? The village smith. Now, my dad, when I was growing up, was a welder. Under that sort of system, I would have become a welder because my dad was a welder. My dad was also a farmer, so I'd have been a welder slash farmer, I guess. But let me tell you, you don't want me welding stuff for you. If you want it to stay together and you want it to work properly, you don't want me doing the welding. My dad was great at welding. I was in a small shop in nearby town one time, and I was ordering a part for my mower, and the guy looked at my name, and he said, Al Davis, are you any relation to Roy Davis? I said, well, yeah, that's my dad. He goes, man, your dad's the best welder I ever met. He could weld a pop can to a sewer grate, you know, and he was going on talking about different things that my dad had done for him and all. I could never achieve that level, but my dad was very good at it. Now, I went in a different direction because I had the freedom to do that. And see, in much of man's history, whatever your family's job business was, that's what you did. And what happens if you didn't like it? What happens if you weren't very good at it? Well, misery, I guess. But the beauty of the American system with free markets and capitalism and things of that nature, you were able, just because your dad was one type of a worker, you could be something else. And I went on eventually to become a pastor and a radio talk show host. That's not something that my dad would have done, but I had the freedom to be able to do that and to be able to do something that I enjoy and hopefully to do a reasonably good job at it. And you just multiply that by many, many other things that people are able to do, business, going into academic fields, going into the military, whatever, because you're doing what you want to do and you find what you're good at and you do it and you become successful, and it caused the middle class to develop. And so when the communists tried exporting communism to America in the early 1900s, they were running into this problem that too many people in America were comfortable. The average person in the middle class in America lives better than royalty did just 100 years ago. In fact, the average middle-class person in America probably has more and lives in some senses better than the upper middle class in much of Europe. And it's interesting, poorer people in America generally are better off than many people elsewhere around the world. I mean, I don't need to get off into that, but part of the thing of it is that we have the ability to make something of ourselves based on our talents and what we feel God is leading us to do. And so we become successful, and the middle class grew because people were able to excel doing things that they liked, doing things that they felt that God would have them to do, not being trapped into what my family's done for generations. And so we see that happening in America, the middle class and all that, and rising tides lifting all boats and everything, to where even the poor were living better than the middle class was previously in many cases. And so communism was having difficult time. They coined this idea of critical theory to try and exploit class, usually economic class differences. It wasn't working so well. So they went in a different direction, and they began what they called critical race theory and critical feminist theory. Now, if you're not familiar with them, let me touch on critical feminist theory first. Critical feminist theory thought to do to the relationship between men and women in society what critical theory thought to do between the relationship between the haves and the have-nots in society. And so the modern feminist movement and much of that owes its origin to the new Frankfurt School, the communists that fled Germany. Remember, Hitler was the head of the National Socialists, the Nazis, the National Socialists. They wanted communism with Germany being in control of their own communist system, as opposed to the international communists who tended to look to Russia, to Moscow. And so the Frankfurt School, the people, they fled to New York and they brought their ideas with them. The critical theory didn't so much work with the class envy. So they broadened and they found a measure of success with sowing discord between men and women, critical feminist theory. And the other that they came up with was critical race theory. And critical race theory, well, it's just what it sounds like. Sowing dissension between people based on racial differences. It's nothing more than tribalism is what it is. Getting people to fuss, well, you're of a different tribe than me. My tribe's better than your tribe, and I can't associate with you because you're not of my tribe. Tribalism, critical race theory. And they concentrated, of course, on making white people the number one target, because after all, it was the majority ethnic group or racial group, I guess, in the United States. And so why not tear them down? And so critical race theory grew, and it spun off things, and our caller was talking about the racism that they were talking about when talking about equity, and it spun off into various things. The wokeism that I was talking about earlier, that's a spinoff, much of that, from critical race theory and critical feminist theory, but critical race theory also gave us diversity, equity, and inclusiveness, and these are things that basically try to divide us one from another. You know, they used to talk about America being the melting pot, where we come together. And you could come from Britain, you could come from India, you could come from Taiwan, you could come from Mexico, and you could become an American. It's not an ethnic group. It's a concept. It's an ideal, the American ideal. And we see it encapsulated in the Declaration of Independence and in our Constitution, the American ideals. And when we look at this, it is a threat to communism. It really is. And the American ideals also recognize God as part of it. I know we're coming quickly on the program and really hadn't planned on talking so much about, all of the critical theory and all of that that's going on. But I was just thinking about this, the very beginning of our nation, when we see the turning away from England to form our own country, the Declaration of Independence starts out saying, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. He continues on. For time's sake, I won't read there at the moment, but he said nature's God. He's talking about the God of the Bible. This is what the Declaration of Independence begins with, a recognition of God. And that's in the first paragraph. In the second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Again, a recognition of our Creator. And see, DEI... and I still maintain that it ought to be reversed, the last two letters should be reversed and make it D-I-E, because it kills society. DEI is basically formulated, descended from critical theory and critical race theory and critical feminist theory, in order to destroy the American ideals that recognize that it's nature's God and our Creator that's given us certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The object of DEI is to take away this dependence upon God. The Declaration of Independence ends with, for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Divine providence. That's God. D-I-E or D-E-I wants to take God out of the picture, wants us to focus on man, and of course on a man-made system called communism, which is contrary to the word of God. Communism is evil, and it's satanic, and it's to destroy all that's good. It ought to be resisted in every way that you can. Well, we're out of time today. Didn't want to end on such a downer, but do pray for our country, pray for our nation. Thank you for listening. I hope you know Christ is your Savior, because He is the truth that will make you free. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.